With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Caravan of Garbage, where this week and previous weeks and weeks to come, we've been going through the Daniel Craig James Bond filmology.
Go on. I see no problems with that sentence.
If you could leave it like that, would be great, because this week we're hitting up big time the movie Quantum of Solace.
That's right.
The much anticipated but somewhat much maligned follow-up 2 years after to Casino Royale, you know?
When are you going to stop saying that?
When are you going to make me stop saying it?
Right now, I'll flip this table.
Now, look.
I'll drown you in oil, bitch.
Before I get into, like, what this movie was originally supposed to be and the very publicly troubled production and the reason why it is the
Thank
way it is.
Thank God troubling James Bond productions are a thing of the past.
I know, right? You can say the thing. The thing that you've always hated about this movie, the opening thing.
James.
Here he goes. You cannot talk about this movie without him bringing it up.
James, upon seeing this movie in cinemas, I was immediately offside because obviously this movie is supposed to take place immediately after Casino Royale.
Yes, the first James Bond movie to ever pick up immediately after.
Okay, but here's the thing, James. In between the last one and this one, the costume designer changed from Lindy Hemming to Louise Frogley, and the supplier of James Bond suits changed from Brioni to Tom Ford.
That's true.
Obviously, James.
Yeah, I know.
And they were like, well, let's change his three-piece navy suit that has sort of a white track stripe. Mm. We'll change it to a two-piece navy suit with a blue pinstripe, and nobody will notice. Nobody will notice, James, that it's a different suit with slightly different colours and fabrics, and he's taken his vest off, apparently.
I think you could have got away with it if you left a vest in it.
So what you're telling me, director of this movie, who I think is Mark Forster, that James Bond got in his car and he took his jacket off, and then he took his waistcoat off.
Yes.
And then he put his jacket back on.
But it was a different jacket.
Why would you do that? Who does that?
A psychopath.
A psychopath would. But also, if that happened, show me that scene. I want to see him do it in the car in the middle of a chase. I mean, that being said, it is a better suit. It's a nice suit.
Oh, well, fair enough. Yeah, well, it
fits him better.
Yeah, it's a good-looking suit. He's a good-looking man.
Yeah.
And we're not here to argue that he isn't.
No.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I actually quite like this movie.
Yeah, look, let's talk a bit about how it started.
Except, obviously, there's a scene where he wears a black belt and a pair of brown suede shoes. What are you thinking,
Bond? Excuse me?
Yeah.
Everybody knows belt, shoes, they match. Everybody, if you've got a snakeskin belt.
Snakeskin shoes and hat. That's what you must do. That's the rules.
So this script was originally not intended to be as much of a sequel to Casino Royale. Mm-hmm. However, because of the writer's strike, which affected a bunch of movies at the time, including Transformers 2, how much? Probably not that much. So they only had the bare bones of a script, very early drafts. So it was up to Daniel Craig and director Mark Forster to rewrite scenes like on the fly.
Day of,
as they were filming. So
just hunkering down in that gas-filled hotel, just clunking away on their Sony Vios, probably.
Exactly. So
those fumes getting in there, getting in your brains.
So even though a lot of the action sequences in this were all mapped out, and again, only 2 years after, so it's a quick turnaround regardless of the writer's strike, they had to fill in a lot of the gaps. And that's why so much of this leans into Casino Royale. And on top of that, normally the director liked a 14-week edit. This got a 5-week edit.
Okay.
It ended up being the shortest James Bond ever at an hour 46.
Thank God.
But I think knowing all that, and if you watch these two back-to-back, they work well together. This doesn't work outside of Casino Royale.
At the end of Casino Royale, James, his sleeves have 4 buttons on them. And at the start of this one, they have 5 buttons.
Maybe put an extra button on
As if I wouldn't notice. Mark Forster. But you're absolutely right. Yeah. I think as if you are watching them back to back, it sort of has
it's not as good.
No.
It's not close.
No.
But as a unit.
Yeah. Mm. But I mean, it's not, it's again, it's not even close to being the worst. It's not even in the lowest echelon of Bond movies, I think.
Like, I don't think it's the worst Daniel Craig Bond movie.
There we go, right?
Which we will get to.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that is kind of nonsensical to it.
Sure.
We'll get to it.
But, yeah, definitely.
You know, it's pretty, and it borrows pretty heavily from, again, some hot cinematic stuff of the time.
Definitely. Well, the other thing that it does borrow, the idea of a price hike with water, that was a real thing that happened in Bolivia. Except the price hike that happened in real life
was 3 times.
That's right.
Yeah, and in this it's twice. So I think again because you know the Bourne movies were quite popular at the time.
They should call this bloody James Bourne.
Very nice. Oh,
I should have edited that into last week's episode. Every time we say James Bond, I say James Bourne. Anyway, well, sorry, go on.
I think they were like, well, we shouldn't do, you know, death lasers and underwater bases and all that sort of stuff. We'll make it a little more realistic. But they didn't even go hard enough to be like, we'll make this water crisis we won't even make it as sinister as the real life one.
It's an odd choice because in a fictional scenario, which turned out to be a real scenario, you could say any number. It could be any number of times as much as it would have cost, you know? It doesn't really change the narrative that much. You know,
I mean, it does if Dominic Green were to be like, I'm going to make water 1 jillion times more expensive. You'd be like, there's something wrong with this guy.
Yeah. I mean, there's clearly something wrong with this guy. Yeah.
He's not an imposing villain. I think that is probably the number one problem with this particular movie. He's not an imposing villain.
Because he's a little frog man?
Yes. They had to give him a crowbar and a fire axe in the final battle between him and Bond for him to even stand a moment's chance against, you know, the hulking gorilla that is James Bond.
He ends up putting it into his own foot or whatever happens. Yeah.
But his henchmen aren't impressive. He doesn't have a jaws like...
No. He's got that dude with a wig who gets tripped by Strawberry Fields Forever.
Yeah. Tripsy Wigsy. Sure.
It's interesting because, so the idea behind the character of Dominic Green is that he has no distinguishing features.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I think they nailed it because every other Bond villain, they've got a scar or a hook hand or a set of big steel feet or something.
Sure, yeah.
You know?
Steelsy feetsy.
I kind of like that idea that he's anybody, but I don't think...
Iron balls. But they're referring to the balls of his feet.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah, he has to explain that at dinner parties.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Iron Balls.
Excuse me?
The balls of my feet. Oh, how elegant.
I bet you can really turn on those heels, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really pivot at a moment's notice. So the story of this is, because they couldn't do Spectre, and because one of the James Bond stories is called Quantum of Solace, they went, why not?
Yeah.
Let's do this story, I guess.
It bears no relevance to the original short story. I'm not even sure Bond's in the original short story. I think it might just be some dude telling a story to another dude.
Well, that sounds terrific. Mm-hmm. That's storytelling, isn't it? Just one dude talking to another dude.
That's right, in a way.
Yeah. So Quantum is everywhere, and I like that idea, you know? An organization so secret that they could have somebody who's been working for M for 18 years.
In theory, it is good.
But
in practice, I don't believe anybody involved in Quantum in this movie would be capable of maintaining that secret or being really competent in any way.
Because they're at an opera talking over earpieces.
It's just an assortment of, like, well-to-do billionaires and, and these incompetent henchmen with no distinguishing features.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't buy this. All of you would have slipped up by now.
You'll notice.
You would have tried to impress somebody at a cocktail party, being like, oh, by the way, I'm part of a little thing called, we call it quantum. What do you think about that?
What does it stand for?
What do you think about iron balls over here?
We like him. But what does it stand for? Nothing, apparently. Sure. It's not an acronym. But of course, it is worked in later that quantum is part of Spectre.
Yeah.
When Spectre, when the rights to Spectre got returned to MGM. Here's something that I thought was weird. Remember when M gets shot at and she just does a little run out of the room?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks like she gets shot.
She does get shot.
And then she just, that's a weird edit, right? That's like something a story point that they dropped?
Maybe.
Because it feels like a reshoot where, for other.
She definitely does get shot.
That's what I thought.
And I guess they were like.
She didn't.
No, I think they probably just like, oh, she probably had a bulletproof vest. What about the other guy who got shot? Wasn't wearing a bulletproof vest.
Yeah, well, that's why he got shot more.
What about this guy who had apparently been M's personal bodyguard for 5 years? You're gonna shoot Bond or anything?
Yeah.
Just shoot a random guy. Just shoot a random guy.
Shoot anyone.
Yeah.
One thing I do like about this movie, though, is the relationship between Bond and Camille. Mm-hmm. And I think what's interesting is that they're both so bent on revenge, they have no interest in each other.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they share a kiss at the end, but it's not really anything. Yeah, they're just so laser-focused on killing the person or people that have wronged them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why they're aligned. There is no other reason. Like, they don't need to have that kind of chemistry. It's just like, we're just going to walk through the desert until we find the people that we need to kill. Yeah, and I think that's very interesting.
Then they share a kiss at the end and they're like, it's not as thrilling if you've already murdered all the people you need to murder.
We do get a couple of returning characters, which again is unusual for a James Bond movie. Felix Leiter.
Yeah, who I don't think we mentioned at all last week.
No, but terrific. Yep. And I'm glad he's in these.
Mm-hmm.
He's just fun. And he's also competent, but not that competent. No, he's fairly competent. He's the most sane man in the CIA.
He's
it
very
seems.
Competent, but he's clearly been worn down by the drama of it all.
Yeah.
He's just like, let David Harbour do his thing.
Oh, my God. What a surprise.
Right?
33-year-old David Harbour looking just fresh-faced and ready to go. When they said his name, I thought they said Mr. Bean.
Sure.
It's Mr. Beam.
It is Mr. Beam. That's correct, yes.
And then, of course.
But can you imagine? I think it'd be a little something like this. He's silent, obviously. Mr. Bean doesn't really talk, so.
This is a still image of Mr. Bean.
Just imagine he's doing some spy. Oh, Johnny English. I forgot.
We don't have the footage.
We can't license it. No, sorry.
And which movie do we use? You know what I mean? There's so much footage to choose from. We'd be paralyzed by choice from the Johnny English trilogy. No, we're never going to talk about it.
Johnny English. Johnny English goes bananas.
Yep.
Johnny English. Even more English.
Even more
full
English.
The full English. It's when he gets his dick out.
What I also liked was Mathis returns and holds no ill will, even though Bond got him captured and tortured. Because if you remember at the end of Casino Royale, at the end when he's cleared, Bond goes, yeah, maybe not.
Do some more torture on him. There's heaps more torture.
Let's
just
see how that goes.
Yeah.
And then when Bond pulls him out of the boot of his car, I thought he was dead. He's not dead. And then he uses him as a human shield.
Yes, but then he regains his dignity when Bond chucks him in a bin. Chucks his body in a bin and he's like, I think Mathis would have wanted it this way. Would he? I don't know if he did.
You know, and he's like, we forgive each other, don't we? I don't think you both need to forgive each other.
Yeah.
I think there's one more than the other.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Also, if I was like, yeah, Bond, I'd forgive you, I'd only be saying that because I'm like, this guy will leave me in the street if I don't say that. So,
yeah, well, he does regardless. I think there's some pretty decent action stuff in this. There's a hotel room fight, which is very Jason Bourne-esque. There's a car chase. There's a plane when they jump out of plane. There's ropes. Remember ropes?
Boy, do I.
Yeah. But, of course, the thing that everybody remembers from
this. Why didn't it have to be ropes, he says, his famous line.
I'm glad. No, wouldn't he be like, I'm glad it's ropes. Oh, no, he hates ropes.
Yeah, it's ropes.
Because
yeah.
The rope for the...
In his balls, yeah.
Swatted him. Yeah,
in his balls.
But I think the only thing that I really remember from this action scene-wise is the exploding hotel.
Sure, yeah. Look, I think the opening chase scene is actually really... It's
oh, it's all good. It's all...
Now that some of my rage has subsided over... You know, the changing of the suit. I can see it with more objective eyes, and I think that initial car chase is really good.
Yep.
You know, there's trucks tumbling all over the place.
Apparently, it was the most locations ever for filming a Bond movie at the time. I don't know how much that has changed. What I also like about the hotel, the exploding hotel at the end, where every room has a thing you can shoot and it will explode because it cools the room.
That's in the brochure.
Everybody in that hotel, as it's exploding, is just going ham on each other. You know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
It's just, you know, Camille and the general having a fisty cuff. Bond is fighting a tiny little frog man.
He's like, may as well.
Yeah. Good as Eddie.
General sewn up, may as well fight this guy, sure.
Here's something interesting about the character of Dominic Green. He was described as not knowing how to fight, so James Bond would be more surprised. Sometimes anger can be more dangerous. I'm going to fight like in school. Yeah, because that's what would surprise James Bond, a man who can't fight. Exactly. You wouldn't know how to come at him, you know?
There's a moment in this movie where James Bond he's at the opera. He's taken a bunch of photographs of the backs of people's heads with his Sony Ericsson phone and has therefore been able to determine what their faces look like due to Sony Ericsson biotechnology.
That's right.
And then Dominic Green and his henchmen, they've been made, so they all leave like in a big gang.
Yeah.
And they get into the lobby and James Bond is there. And just the bug-eyed fear on Dominic Green's face as he sees Bond there. And I was like, Dominic Green, calm down. You got all your boys here, you know? But he's like,
he does. I mean, he doesn't really have all his boys there, does he? There's not a competent one in the bunch.
If they panned down, he would have been peeing himself. But
absolutely.
Yeah, just settle down.
I got to say also, I really enjoy his death. How Bond's like, here's a can of oil. Let's see how far you get before you drink it. I can't believe he carried it. I can't believe he took it with him.
Right?
You wouldn't carry it, right?
Not pointless. You would have thought.
Anyway, that's all I'm saying. Did you find, though?
I would have said, Bond, give me a bottle of water. That's you've clearly thrown me the wrong container.
I don't have a can opener for this. I'm going to have to chew through the top like a rat. One thing that I didn't find satisfying in this, though, was the reveal of Vesper's boyfriend and the revenge that Bond gets or doesn't get in discovering what he's up to. I just found it was a bit like, oh, it's just this guy, is it? All right. Oh, yeah, he's doing the thing again. He's doing the catfishing thing again to Canada.
Sure.
Didn't really. And, like, Bond doesn't kill him. Why not? Kill everyone else. Kill Mathis. A man that you like?
Yeah.
But how did you feel about that, though, as a conclusion?
We don't really see anything about that guy. Like, he's not built up as a villain in any real sense. So yeah. I didn't really feel like any kind of...
At least have him, like, pop up a bit during the movie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there was a moment there where, like, his new lover...
Mm.
is informed by Bond that, you know, he's also got that sort of Algerian love knot. And I think there's a moment where she's like, did he do that to you as well? Is that
he goes that way though, doesn't he? Sure apparently. Does. We'll talk about it next week. But right now we're going to talk about cue the music, whatever that is. License to Trivia.
Okay, great.
Don't know what the music is.
Is it a MIDI version of a James Bond theme?
Yeah, up to Ben. Mm-hmm. He has full creative control.
A MIDI version of the 1960s Casino Royale theme.
Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so an early draft of the script involved James Bond discovering that Vesper Lynd had a child by a previous relationship who had been kidnapped by Quantum.
Oh.
There you go. Just did someone else for him to kill, I guess. Or accidentally.
Here's a fun fact, James.
Sure.
Bond's shoes from the end of Casino Royale, they change from a Derby, and they become an Oxford
really?
At the start of Quantum of Solace, yeah.
Must have kicked them off for driving. I bet if you looked next to the pedals,
yeah.
There's a loose pair of shoes down there.
He's got two pairs of shoes.
That's what I think he's up to.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot very nearly got the role of Camille. Mm-hmm. After missing out, though, it did inspire her to quit law school and pursue acting as a career.
Really?
There you go. The only James Bond film also where James Bond isn't captured or taken prisoner by one of the villains. He is, of course, briefly captured by MI6, very briefly.
Yeah.
But he, you know,
goes rogue.
Kills some people. Gets out of that scenario. There's also a deleted ending, I don't know if you know about this, where James Bond dispatches Mr. White in a gun barrel sequence, which then sets up the next movie.
Oh.
This was, though, removed because so the film wasn't compelled to continue this story.
I see.
I mean, which it did anyway, Inspector. But for the next movie,
yeah.
They don't tie in. So, of course, Mr. White does return down the line. In the scene where Bond discovers Agent Strawberry Fields' oil-covered body, her corpse is positioned the same way as Jill Masterson's body, remember, with the gold and the gold the finger?
Gold finger. That was Gemma Arterton's first day on set.
Was it really?
Yeah, they were like, well, you got the job, here we go.
How did she enjoy it?
Loved it.
I bet she did. Just covered in black paint. It's brilliant. Una Chaplin, who you might be familiar with.
I'm not.
She's popped up in, I think, Black Mirror episodes.
I see.
She's also, she married Robb Stark. She got red weddings.
Oh, yep. Okay, I'm on board now.
She's the granddaughter of Sir Charles Spencer Chaplin, who you might be familiar with.
I'm not.
He's Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
She works in the exploding hotel.
Ah.
Yeah. And
be pretty anxiety inducing, I would imagine.
Yeah. Those things would be rattling, just like an old water heater, you know?
Yeah.
No good.
Yeah. And people would always be checking in. They'd be like, can I smoke in my room? No.
You could use solar power. Why are you using explosions?
Don't know
either. Maybe it's under a volcano.
Maybe there's no sunlight in the desert.
Yeah, maybe.
Who's visiting that hotel? He's like, I've got to go to the desert to this exploding hotel. Also, why'd they call it the exploding hotel? The desert's famous exploding hotel.
This isn't so much trivia as just something I found in trivia, which is cruel.
Oh.
Villains in the James Bond movies often have some kind of physiological dysfunction or trait that makes them distinguishable.
True.
We've talked about it. Iron Balls, for example. Mm-hmm. For this movie, some may have thought that there was none for Dominic Green, but arguably, critics noted his distinguishable and menacing bug eyes, which do set him in the company of Bond villains of old. So just this man, how he looks every day is odd enough for some people to be like, what a freak. He looks like all the freaks that came before him. No makeup required.
Remember Jaws with his horrific mechanical teeth? Well, you're just as ugly.
And of course, we do need to talk about, as we do every week, whether or not James Bond has gone rogue this time around.
Yeah.
And if he retires.
Okay, let me think. Okay, so he definitely goes rogue.
Yeah.
Again, almost immediately.
Yeah, what I liked about when he goes rogue, mm-hmm. M's like, you can't be trusted. I can't be trusting you. Then he gets in the elevator and he beats up everybody. And then they
betraying her trust.
Exactly. And then she's like, and then he runs away. And then she's like, I trust him. I think he's onto something. Yeah, you're just saying that because he beat up all your dudes.
Yeah.
It just got out of hand.
Sure.
You know? But he's got confidence.
That's true, yeah.
So, but does he retire?
He doesn't retire.
Well, at the end also, she's like, welcome back. Mm. And he's like, I never left. Mm. So it makes me think that she thought he'd retired.
Okay, sure.
I think it counts.
Maybe, yeah.
He's just doing his own thing. You know?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe that's not retirement.
Yeah.
It's more of a sabbatical. Well,
look, I think currently we've got two in the going rogue column and one officially going retired.
I agree. Now, the budget for this movie, it was actually the most expensive Bond movie ever.
Is that because they changed his tie from Casino Royale to the start of Quantum of Solace?
It would have definitely factored in.
I think so.
It blew out to $225 million, but it ended up making $591 million, which is only $3 million less than Casino Royale.
Huh.
And I do also wonder if that's because you can squeeze in more sessions of this in a day as opposed to Casino Royale, which is like 40 minutes longer. You know?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Get your packet, you get more butts in seats. Mm-hmm. This, even though, again, not received well, it's not anybody's favorite, it's still the fourth highest overall box office for a Bond movie ever.
Oh, very good.
So, yeah, there you go.
Mm. Probably because of all those butts in seats you mentioned.
Get them in there, sit them down. Mm-hmm. Sit them down. Have a look. Have a look at this screen. Everybody, have a look. All right, this has been Quantum of Solace. And, and all things considered, Bond movie, it's fine.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
You know?
Again, back to back.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe his best overall look, the midnight blue tuxedo with the shawl, with the shawl lapel, James.
Well, that's a good point.
An homage to Sean Connery's first appearance in Dr. No, I'm pretty sure.
You're pretty sure? Mm-hmm. What if it's not? Should we just leave this in anyway?
Yeah.
Okay. Someone will correct us.
Sure.
Yeah. Guess what, though? We're coming back next week because we are talking about the biggest Bond movie of all time.
Oh, my goodness.
Skyfall.
Some say it's the best.
That's right.
Some think they're wrong.
We'll talk about it.
No, let's do it now.
Okay, settle in, everybody. We're doing another 20 minutes.
No, let's do it next time.
Yeah, so I look at people consider it having the best song. And people hate the song from this one. Amy Winehouse was supposed to do this one.
Uh-huh.
Didn't end up happening for various reasons.
The writer's strike.
I don't think that was it. I think it was more personal problems that I'd rather not get into.
Okay.
But yeah, look, first of all, what are your thoughts on this movie? Mm-hmm. Second of all, if you've got any opinions on what you want us to look at for Caravan of Garbage, leave it below, or even video games, you know what I mean? What do you want us to look at?
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you do want to see these early, which I know you do, Mason, you can actually sign up.
I see them the earliest.
It's only going to cost you $9 a month, Mason.
Actually, that's not true. I hear them the earliest.
Well, that is true. Mm. If you go over to bigsandwich.co, right? They've got early videos. We do bonus podcasts. We do movie commentaries. Our podcast, The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows, that actually comes out there a day early on Sunday as opposed to Monday. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I'm at Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter.
I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
We love James Bond.
It's true, we do.
We love them more than you. If you're the biggest James Bond fan, guess what? We are.
If you think you know the most about James Bond, you're wrong.
We'll beat you up.
You didn't know the thing about the shoes.
We do.
Change your shoes.
That's right. I told Mason that. So he knows.
Yeah, that's right.
And now we both knew it.
Yeah, I was fine. I was very content in my life. He told me the thing about the switching of the shoes and now I'm mad about it.
I didn't even notice the shoes. Do you even see his feet in any of those
things?
Okay then. Goodbye.
Bye everyone. Grab that chair. We'll see you next time.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.